I was supposed to do a podcast yesterday. I was supposed to do it Friday, but then it did uproar. And then Jay came over because he was trying to fix his fire truck. And he finally got the carburetor out. Welcome to Regular Friends. And then Manic came over. Do you know Manic?
Yes, I do.
He was here over the weekend.
Nice.
And he like gets out of the driveway from Pittsburgh in like his dad's old Miata.
Oh my
that's
God.
Had a million like electrical problems in it. It's like, I think I got it fixed, but I'm pretty sure it'll make the ride. I'm like, just go back and get your Subaru and just drive that over here.
Yeah.
Welcome to Regular Friends. We're your regular friends. This is the offshoot of Regular Car Reviews podcast. And I'm not stopping doing furry stuff. I don't care what you say. This is going to be it. And this is pre-recorded, so don't feel like you missed out on the live stream going by. But my guest is Ginger, and I wanted an uninterrupted time with her. So feel free to ask whatever comments. And thank you to all the Patreon supporters who have been sticking with us. We hit another milestone. And we want to stick with you. This podcast is just going to keep getting better and better. And also, you're seeing this one now in full 4K because I'm not streaming it and just grabbing the stream off of YouTube after YouTube bends the audio and video over the chair. So, hello, Ginger.
Hello. Yes. Hello. If anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy. You can communicate them with me. Mm-hmm. More than happy to answer any. But I am a fursuit maker, so this one's, I assume, is going to be all about fursuit making and everything.
If it gets off rails, it gets off rails.
Yeah, it's unscripted. We kind of go with the flow here.
Yeah.
So I'm a fursuit maker. I am currently located in New Jersey, about Central Jersey. I used to be in South Central Pennsylvania, so where the capital city was.
We were talking about that on the phone.
Yes, we were.
I was at Capital City FurCon, the one and only year it existed. And I remember telling you that it was such a surreal experience to be at a FurCon and watch it collapse around everybody. The rumors go that the chair ran off with the money, but then there was no, someone else did it. It was just like a case study of complete mismanagement of a furry convention. And I remember Saturday night just being in the lobby. And I recognize that, okay, it's a small con. It's a first year. Don't expect anything but a party. But it was such a party that the chair was there in fursuit, no head, just blitzkrieged on like jungle juice or whatever. And just like, oh, you're supposed to be in charge of the people who are in charge. There's nothing going on here. Dr. Conway is there, like trying to raise money because they owed something crazy, like $50,000 to the hotel.
Jeez.
For like a down payment. And what I wish I would have done was, I had my radios with me in the car, just a little two ways. That we use for, you know, just filming when we're filming regular car reviews, but I didn't have my Zoom recorder. And I would have loved to just turn, find out what channel they're on, plug the Zoom recorder into that, and just hear the radio chatter and just record that.
Probably madness over there.
Either you would just hear the juiciest stuff or, you know, it would just be deadness and like no one knows anything.
Yeah.
But what was it? So you were at Capital City as well.
Yes. So I was only there for a day. It was pre-me vending at any conventions. It was more or less like I was home trying to, that was 2019, right? Everything kind of shut down.
Yeah.
So I was my senior year of high school.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I was like, you know, we're winter break, you know, I had a local friend. I was like, let's just go for a day. Let's go. It's my birthday the next day. I was like, let's go to the con. Why not? We stopped by just kind of for a few minutes. And I was like, you know, we found parking like on the street somewhere ways away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I walk in and I would say I couldn't find anything. I just stayed in that little main upstairs area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was about it.
That was it.
I was like, you know, couldn't find any panels, barely found registration. Man, and I was like so excited before going. I was like, oh my gosh, local con, let's go. Like, you know, 30 minutes away from where I'm at. And just, I was like, oh,
there was nothing.
You know. And I had only been to like Anthrocon and furthermore prior to then.
Right.
So like much more organized kind of, you could figure out where things were, and you're not just standing in the lobby the whole time.
Yeah.
So I'll say going there was
something. Yeah, a bunch of people just like when I was there, it's like there's nothing going on at con. Let's just go out to a bar, and then just left and walk it around. I like Harrisburg, but it just the whole town just shuts down.
It's nothing, a different atmosphere there. Yeah. Like it just there's really nothing that really goes on there. Like everybody's like, oh, you're from near Harrisburg. Like cool, let's go. And I'm like, I say I'm from Harrisburg,
yeah,
but I've never been in Harrisburg. Like there's like Strawberry Square. That's about it.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go to Hershey, go to
literally go anywhere around Harrisburg. Don't go to Harrisburg.
Yeah. Go to Lancaster, go to the farmer's market. That's fun. Pay $1 million for parking in Lancaster. Cause Lancaster is turning to a small Los Angeles down there.
Really is. It's an Amish Los Angeles. It's
Los Amish.
Los Amish. Oh my gosh.
And shout out to Pulsar and a bunch of other people who still like Lancaster. I like it, but it's like all the traffic of Philly, but none of the stuff to do. And no, they don't have trains, which is, people like to dump on SEPTA all the time. But the idea that, so we were both at Uproar last night. That's something we should talk about. We should probably save a bunch of stuff that for the Patreon episode, where I can legitimately talk about the stuff that went down.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun that parking at my train station is free on the weekends. So we just parked it there, got on the train, got off at Jefferson Station, walked not even a half mile, a few blocks, and then you're there.
Yeah.
And then you just get back on the train and you leave. And it's just that tap on, tap off. And I know, like, being a car guy, I'm supposed to not like public transportation. Like, oh, you're supposed to use cars all the time. But gosh darn it, I don't have to park. I don't have to deal with the Schuylkill Expressway or anything. I don't have to have my head on a swivel. I can just kind of zone out for a while.
Mm-hmm. I'll say I had the same thing. My friend lives in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a place, God forbid, in Fishtown. But
yeah.
Parking, like, I got off of work. I'm trying to find parking, circle around for like 20 minutes, finally find a street spot.
Yeah.
But we literally would just take SEPTA in and you're basically there.
Yeah. Does everything go through like 30th Street and like if you have to transfer from it's a riveting podcast just talking about Southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. Like you get on the regional rails. And then that takes you down to the main big stations, and then you have to transfer there onto the subway.
My understanding, yes, because I'm not big on like public transport. The closest I got was my college had a train station stop for one of the regional SEPTAs.
Oh, really?
So I was easily able to go in and out of Philly and everything. So I know there's regional lines, but they all go to 30th, is what I've heard. So
the one here, it's a Lansdale Doylestown line, and it goes from here in the suburbs. It goes to, I don't know if it goes to 30. I need like a big SEPTA map.
It goes to 30th.
It does go to 30th.
The line that I took. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it is the second to last stop into Doylestown, because Doylestown is the last stop.
Right.
Yep.
And that's why all houses in Doylestown are $1 million.
Correct.
As far as the wasps can get away. Cannot be from Philly, but when they get on an airplane and go to frickin' Chicago, no one's gonna know what Doylestown is, and they can say they're from Philly.
Yeah.
Doylestown is nice though.
It's nice, but it's expensive.
It is.
It really is.
SEPTA needs to just expand the landline. One more stop, like West Coastville.
Yeah.
Man, if they push that line all the way to Lehigh Valley.
I was about to say, if you push it to Lehigh Valley, Allentown, like,
yeah,
that would be a line that everybody would be taking.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't they do it? You could get that because Allentown is the sixth borough of New York City. You've now just connected Philly to New York City without having to use Amtrak. You could take it right there to the park and ride at West Coastville and then just get on the bus.
Yeah.
That just takes you now the buses in Allentown, they all take you to the Javits Center. And I'm surprised. Here's a weird question. Why do you think New York City has no big furry events? They got their Comic-Con at the Javits Center every year.
Yeah, that's
huge.
True.
Yeah.
I'll say, and I have been to that, and that is humongous. Like,
yeah.
Starting there, though, there's no way.
No.
There's no way. honestly, parking in New York, it's like if Philadelphia, if they did it like in the city, if they did it like at the Philly Convention Center, because I know I was walking by,
yeah,
well, going back to the train after
uproar,
and I was like, why don't we just have it here? Parking would be insane.
It would be crazy because you don't have the nice big PPA parking garage right next to the hotel. And also, and this is something I don't know how could the socially, the people who need some work with social skills be able to handle the aggressive panhandlers that hang around the convention center.
They'd get stopped by Elmo every time.
Yeah.
They really would.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to know that you just walk by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say, honestly, a mix of that and honestly with how expensive New York is and hotels, like if you don't get in a main hotel, you're going to be forking out quite a bit. I went to a concert in New York around this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $400 just for the night for a concert. And it was like a few blocks away from where the concert was. Like it's not even concert block tickets.
No.
Like it was ways away, but still expensive.
Yeah.
And that was just one night. That's like usually a whole weekend, if not a little bit more at a con.
Yeah. I can't, like, I think one time, Nick and I were in Midtown for the Adam Freeland show. And it was interesting. We were paid for that. Some New York City comedians, if you know these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
I'll say, I'm not super familiar with them, but.
Do you remember a podcast called Cumtown?
No, I do not, but now I want to hear about this.
It was just three New York City comedians. It was Stavros Halkias, Nick Mullen, and Adam Friedland started this podcast like in 2017, maybe 2018. But it was just like, let's just make the worst podcast in the world. And it's just three guys just calling each other gay for an hour. It's that. And eventually, like, they became like number eight on the highest profitable Patreons. They were pulling in something disgusting, like $40,000 a month from no video, nothing like this.
Yeah.
But it was the perfect mix of three perfect personalities that were just like bam, 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 bam. The jokes were just funny.
Yeah.
And later, like, the New Yorker talked about them because especially, and then, of course, their Patreon shot up during the pandemic because people were getting all highbrow about this disgusting. And they got roped in with, like, Chapo Trap House with being, like, the dirtbag left.
Yeah.
And which, you know, the three guys just made fun of, like, we're not anything. This podcast is about being gay with your dad. Like, that was it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was just all a joke.
It was all a joke. But they started talking about this podcast as being like the friendship simulator because they just had this like natural chemistry. The show's over. They went their separate ways. There's now Nick and Adam are together doing a different type of podcast with video and like calling it the Adam Friedland Show. It was sort of a throwback podcast to like the Dick Cavett show from the 70s. Okay. A little bit more highbrow. And Stavi went on to do his own podcast, doing quite well. Where it's one of these relationship podcasts where people leave them Google voicemails and then they make fun of them for a while.
Oh, boy.
It actually is pretty good. Like people, like dumb guys getting into relationships. Like,
yeah,
I gotta be nice. Hello. Nope. People are just taking their phone call. For people who are wondering, I have contractors over just working on the,
just casually walking by every now and again.
Yeah. But these shirts, I don't think are hearing too much. What were we talking about? New York City. Oh, conventions. Like Philadelphia could move in. No, they'd have to be like five times bigger to afford the Philadelphia Convention Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it was something like what Drain was talking about, like when people complain about Philadelphia, it's that, oh, there's no place good to eat nearby, which really translates to, I don't want to walk more than a block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you go to Anthrocon, you have Condado's right across the street, you have the subway up the street. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff like right there.
Yeah.
But I'll say Philly, like if you want all the food, it's got to be like Center City.
Yeah. But it's like, it's there. Like, this is the thing that just drives me nuts sometimes about the fandom. Like
there's
like
a some Wawa right down the street. It's not that far.
If you're going to Wawa, you're downtown. Like Chinatown's right there. Freaking Halal Guys is right there. you can get all this neat stuff, but then you have half the people with fandom who just want chicken nuggies. They just want chicken nuggies and chalky milk.
Yeah, they want something that's like a mainstream restaurant. It's like, eat local. Try something local. Look at reviews online.
Like, you have to go out of your way. Like, people like to shit on Philadelphia for being like, oh, it's dirty and stuff. You have to try really hard to eat bad food.
Yeah.
Gosh, I keep looking at that opossum. Tell me the story of that. It's been looking there. You put the opossum right there in the bowl of grandma candies. What's the story with the little plush?
So, that is actually Maxwell the rat. So, he is not even an opossum.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
But.
Yeah, tell me. I'm just going to zoom in.
Yeah, so Maxwell, he is actually not my character and not my plush, but I did make a suit of him back in, I think, 2015 now. He was my first ever commission. I was forced to make him for my friend Zero Remnants, but he was my first ever commission that I did. I think I was, at the time of his commission, I was 14 years old, so... made his whole full suit and everything. Zero decided to do dance comps in him, and it kind of skyrocketed me a little bit, where I got on a few more people's radars and everything. And some more people were like, oh, you know, your suits are kind of cool, you know. And I was still very unsure about taking commissions, just because I had known Zero for a couple years, like maybe two or three at that point. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, a friend commission, sure. But then I had people being like, I would love a suit from you. And I'm like, I have no clue who you are. I don't know if I can deliver what you're really asking for. A little nervous there. But I'll say that character kind of skyrocketed me into where I am now, taking fursuit commissions, doing artistic liberty commissions, you know, from people that I don't already know of, or, you know, most of my clientele today is not friends. It's kind of locals, or they're like, oh, I saw Zero dancing, or, you know, I saw this donkey throwing people over his shoulder. Like, yeah, they're like,
you did the suit for Lyft.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. I gave that man way too much power.
And now people just seek him out at conventions, like, ooh, Big Daddy, pick me up and throw me. I've been a bad boy. Call me names.
No, so he hates it. He's going to hate me for this.
Oh.
But I didn't even know him before the suit. Mm-hmm. I was in Furrydelphia, I think it was 2020. My friend had like a little Artist Alley table. I was like, hey, can I stick this suit on your table? Try to sell it. I'll sit here with you. Sat there. He was on his way to a panel that he was running. Was like, hold on 1 second, called his bank, came back.
No way.
Came back, bought the suit, and then said, keep it. I don't want it until I get a full suit of it. So I'm going to commission you for a full suit. So he didn't even wear the partial the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
And went to his panel, was like, hey, I just bought a suit. And they're like, where is it? He's like, I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. I don't even have it yet.
I can't do them, but.
But yeah, just the way that he stresses the suit and everything, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, has he ripped it or?
No. So there's like maybe a hole here or there that I fixed, or he has some crazy idea where he's like, I want to change. At one point he wanted the zipper changed from the front to the back. And I was like, okay, sure. And then like maybe a month later, I want it switched back. I want the front zipper again. Like,
okay. Oh, you did it. And then he wanted
it back. I did it. And then.
Yeah. He suddenly realizes you have to find somebody to put to get yourself in it again. Yeah.
I'll say, I can't even remember where that train was running. I was running somewhere else with that. And then I was like, I'm going to give you the story behind Lyft and how he found the suit. No, but I did not know him previously or anything. He wasn't, you know, commissioned me for the rest of the suit. He actually is commissioning me now for a different character. So, let's say this is actually, let me try and flip this out real quick.
Hold the mic.
Yes. Thank you. So this is actually a footpaw for one of his newer characters. I believe Promo is the name.
Promo.
Yes.
But like I'm like a wrestling on, promo.
I guess so. I mean, at this point, yeah. So I'll say I haven't flipped this out yet. So this is the first time I'm flipping it out.
Oh, did you?
Looks like it's okay. But I'll say zip-on feet is something that I've been working on recently. A lot of makers do it. Not everybody does. So I'm still kind of experimenting with it. So only those who I ask pre-hand. So like a lot of commissioners, if they want something that I haven't done, I'm like, hey, it's either a no or it's going to be trial and error. Like this suit behind me, this is actually an opossum.
Okay.
They are going to have a zip on neck. So they have one of those giant, like really thick zippers for their necks. So I was like, I'm not shying away from that.
Yeah.
I want to do that. If you're okay paying a little bit more, I will trial and error that. And they were like, sure. So that's why the neck has not been done yet. But I'm working on getting...
Is this going to be... Are they going to be up front about the zipper? Like it's going to be visible? Or are you going to have a little flap in there?
Yeah. So it's part of the character design. So a lot of opossums, you know, roadkill designs.
Oh, okay.
So their character... I actually have the eyes for the character too, if you wanted to... No, I'll show the camera too here, but I say they are like darker eyes too, sublimated and everything, so a little bit easier to see through with the backing being black too. But these eyes are going to be in there too, but I say very much kind of a darker kind of, you know, roadkill-esque design. They have stitches all over, obviously not on the head, unfortunately. Otherwise I'd be like, look right here, but it's mostly on the body. And I'm getting commission for partial for it. So hands, feet, or, hands, tail and head. But I'll say the tail is also going to be detachable.
Okay.
So it's going to have like a little nub, a sublimated design with like the bone and kind of the meat inside. And then it's going to be complete, like it'll be a full tail too, if they wanted to.
Like magnets or something like that?
It's going to be all zip on.
Oh, okay.
So same kind of concept with the feet, but it's going to be, you know, the tail instead of the feet.
Yeah.
When
it comes time to selecting the mesh and this printed design, is... Run me through this. Where does the mesh, what's the material?
So it's,
and how do you get the eye on it?
Yeah, it's actually a computer fan mesh. So way back when I had started using, it's called Unicorn Buckram. Same thing, you could print on it and everything. I was never big on painting. Painting makes me mad. I'm like, I can't, I don't have the patience for it. So I was very quick to, I saw makers doing like sublimated eyes where you heat press an image on. And I was like, I want to do that. So I used to actually run the Unicorn Buckram through my parents' color printer.
No way.
To print on eyes.
Did it work?
Yes, it worked. But through lift suit, I actually found out that it bleeds. So if you sweat enough onto the eyes, the color will start to bleed on the eyes and everything.
Interesting.
So as I found that out, I switched. And I saw a lot of makers now use like this PVC mesh. There's like a 0.08 millimeter, 0.05 millimeter. So I have the tinier one of the two. But let's say that's the material that I now use. I used to use, got it off of Amazon actually. It's called Vinyl Ida. A lot of makers still use that one. It's you can sublimate and everything onto it. I just wanted something a little bit tougher. And the Vinyl Ida, like I think your eyes might be made on it.
I just looked at it and it's painted.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say a lot of them, like, you can still paint this material. You can paint the vinyl and everything. Some makers do the sublimation. Some makers still paint. I'll say there's a lot of very talented makers out there that will still paint their eyes. Just not for me. Never looked symmetrical. I was like, I'm just going to digitally draw it, heat press it on, make it a little bit easier on my life.
Yeah.
But this material.
You can do some other work while it's printing. Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
Exactly. I'll say while it's printing, like I'll say the printing, the paper takes a little bit and then the heat press. Some makers will use pressure. I just kind of let my iron sit on it for a little bit. So I have one of those Cricut irons. But yeah, so the mesh part that you see out of is PVC mesh from computer fans. So it's high heat tolerance and everything. There's two different kinds, as I kind of mentioned. So this is the smaller one. I say you're a little upside down because the hat.
I know it's different. My mesh, I think in there, I don't know if it's black or not. It I'm not really seeing that much of a difference in how it looks to look through between this and painted. However, wait, Sometimes. Oh, that's the advantage. The bit where the eye reflection graphic is.
Yes.
That bit is the only sort of blind spot I have with painted, whereas this, there's none of that.
Correct, yeah. So for painting, it was a lot of, like, there's application techniques that you can use and everything where, you know, some makers, I used to do it where I'd completely blot that section, and then you'd have people, I can't see out of it, it's a blind spot, but
yeah,
you could easily, like, you could poke holes through it and everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you could still paint the back black and everything. I mm-hmm. had a lot of the clogging issues, mm-hmm. and I didn't have the patience to use, like, mm-hmm. a sponge and kind of
yeah.
push it on there. So I was like, let me just sublimate it. I used to use, oh God, foamies.
What's
like
that?
Like little thin sheets that you get at like Michael's or Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's foam. It's not like this plastic material.
Mm-hmm.
So if you push it, it's over.
Mm.
It's done with.
Mm.
That was, I think, from 2015 to like 2019,
mm-hmm.
I was using foamies. I'm like, we love foamies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say plastic's really where it's at. And then lately, I've been starting. So when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm tired of, you know, with 3D eyes, you have to glue an edge around the eyes.
Yeah.
I was tired of, you know, duct taping it and then having to paint the little seams because I don't mm-hmm. like little seams. So I was like, all right, balls to the wall, 3D printer. I'm just
going
to get one.
Yeah.
So I got a 3D printer. Let's say if you want to try to break this, be my guest.
Yeah, that's thick.
It is thick printed resin. Mm-hmm. It is ABS-like resin, I think is what it's called. I have not tested it over a car tire yet, but it is supposed to not break under a car tire even. But I have moved to 3D eyes being 3D printed in that resin
mm-hmm.
so that they are incredibly unlikely to break. Mm-hmm. So like if you need to push a suit into a suitcase or like squish it, they're very compactable.
And now that Southwest doesn't have free checked yes. bags anymore, a lot of people from other parts of the country, I mean, around here in the tri-state area, you're flying American or you're getting fucked, you know, sorry
yeah.
to swear, but it's been after 10 minutes, but
yeah.
you know, Philly's American, so you fly them. I guess Southwest does fly a little bit out of Philly, but actually, I don't think American gives you one free check bag either. I think you always had to pay for
it. I think
American.
You always had to pay.
So people are taking like the suit heads on the plane with them as their extra mm-hmm. personal item.
Personal item, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Say getting the suit bags and everything.
Yep, yep. But
them.
Then they're getting bashed around. They're shoving it below the seat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the heads are like folding in on themselves.
Yep.
Like around, like straight down the muzzle inside. And it's not going to work for people who... You're right, because that's the one thing when I see posts from people who get to a convention, the eyes are the first thing that go.
Correct, yeah. yeah. I always get, that's one of the things, like, even if it doesn't look perfect, if it's durable, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say I prioritize durability mm-hmm. over looks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this whole suit here is, like, double-stitched. You can pull on this nose.
Oh, look at that.
And it doesn't come off. I'll say I use, you know, hot glue everywhere. I use a spray glue. I make the own like balaclava to go inside for it, but it's also compactable. I don't use the foam bucket.
Mm.
A lot of the makers will make a foam bucket, put all of the, you know, foam around it to shape it up.
Mm-hmm.
I do it straight onto the balaclava.
Mm.
So I always recommend wearing one at least underneath too, just because of sweat and everything.
Oh yeah.
But instead of having to line it afterwards, it's already lined.
Mm-hmm.
It's sewn into the eyes. It's sewn into the mouth. Sewn all around. And the neck also gets sewn with an upholstery thread. So it's very, like, the first thing that will rip will be the fabric itself rather than the seams.
Nice. I do have a bit of a stress point on remote, but it's at the top of the tail. Because
mm-hmm.
the tail is a fan tail,
yeah,
coming out, and it's usually for me the only thing, the only limitation that remote has. It's difficult to sit down in it,
yes,
because the tail is a zip on,
okay,
but it also is more. It's not really on your butt; it's at the small of your back,
yes,
and it doesn't want to flip up. It'll pull against the fabric if it tries to go up. and I ski in the thing.
So, yeah, I saw that video. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Getting on a ski lift is a thing. I have to like start almost on a squat and slide your ass back up onto the seat as it's coming off.
Oh gosh.
So you sit on the tail or you just ski with a gigantic hole in your butt and then all the teenagers say, yo, you fucking that thing, bro?
Yeah, they all have that preconception and everything.
Yeah.
But I had a similar problem. I used to have, so Cord there, she is a corgi shark mix.
Aww.
So she used to have a gigantic shark tail.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it to cons, use it as body pillows, but rarely would I wear it with her. We're just going to go with the small tail. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But sitting in a chair in that thing, I'm like, I'd sometimes just sit on the tail and have it come up through the middle instead as I'm sitting there in full suit. And I'll be like, okay, extra pillow, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'll say every suit has their intricacies. Mm-hmm. I try to minimize it. There's some where you're going to still get it where, there's things that you have to be careful of. I try to minimize that as much as possible.
Yeah, you have to. The remote's head is one, like the beak is part of the 3D printed head.
Yes.
It was, I think a third party person makes those Raptor and like a different style head. Something Creations, I forget what it is.
Dream Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I'll give it to Sparky. It's, she molded it to my jawline. So the beak moves without springs.
Okay.
So that's when we talked about when she went to a full auction. Now, I got mine for friend prices, so I'll give it that. But she says, she had to do alterations at the first con because she didn't measure from the back of my jaw back by the ear to the front of the chin and then had to modify the little cup, the almost like football helmet cup that your chin sits on. But it's just enough pressure in the elastic band in the back is what makes the puts enough pressure on it. Although I do have to, the way to hold him is to get your hand in there and grab the head, is that the elastic band is at the very end of its, I want a little bit more Velcro to just hold it on.
Yeah.
So sometimes this thing comes all the way off and then the head itself is holding itself on.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get it too tight, it's like it's just jamming in there. I just need another inch. But I've not skilled enough to sew onto this.
Well, find a maker that could easily fix that.
Okay,
But yeah, I'll say that's something that a lot of clients will do too, is like with that. I know I've worked off of a mixed candy base before, my third suit that I almost brought to Uproar. She's off of a mixed candy base and same thing, has like the straps in the back and everything. I've had to do few adjustments and everything there, but say the face molding's a new one. I've never heard of that. I'd say there's always something new with fursuit making.
Like, yeah, it's just a little bit of, and I can show you on it, it's just a little bit of curved. I don't know what material is underneath the felt. It may have been, I don't know what she used. I wonder if it's just all strap. Metal all strap underneath it.
Oh my
gosh. Put a lot of foam or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's stiff, whatever it is. And I remember she had to bend it.
Okay.
So maybe it is metal under there.
I'll say it could be metal.
Now I have to look.
Yeah. I'll say there's some like cosplay foams that you can like heat up and mold to. So potentially there.
No, that's plastic.
That's plastic.
So yeah, maybe she had. You know what? She
probably used the hair dryer in the hotel, put it on high, and just let it cook there just enough to move it. Yeah.
I say, makers, we find a way to make it work. We really do. Like, it'll be late night hotel, like, at con fixes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be craziest thing. Like, oops, we forgot scissors. Does somebody have keys? Does somebody have, like, a pocket knife? Like,
yeah.
You know, there have been many a times where I'm like stuck like that. Like I'll bring thread, needle, hot glue without glue guns, but I'll find them in they'll be like in the headless lounge somewhere usually, but scissors, never.
Yeah.
Always forget scissors. So it's
tell
always
me
something.
About hot glue. Not all hot glue is made the same.
Correct. So I'll say I still use a mini glue gun. So it doesn't really matter which glue gun you use. Mm-hmm. I just prefer the mini. Mm-hmm. I'll say holding it's a little bit easier for me. It's probably more cost effective to use a regular size one, but I'm just like, nah, I'm fine with my little mini one hand-me-down for my grandmother.
But the stick, the glue itself.
Correct.
That's, they make all kinds of different kinds.
Yes. So there's like the ones that you're going to find at like Michael's, Hobby Lobby, Joann's, poor Joann's going out of business. But
pour one out. There's one of my gym and the sign spinners outside has been there for a week.
I've already hit like three or four of them. I'm
you
like,
go hit this one between podcasts?
I guess so. but I say those are usually more craft, so they'll kind of come off of a base
and they don't,
a lot easier.
Joann's doesn't sell fabric, do they?
They do.
They do?
Okay. Joann's does. Michael's doesn't. Some Hobby Lobbies do. I'll say I've seen some Michaels that do, but most of them don't. It's kind of those foamy pieces or craft felt kind of stuff. It's like the difference between craft fur versus actual like luxury shag or fox fur or one of those, like that's actually going to look nice. And you know, if you brush a suit, it's going to stay looking nice for the most part. With glue, like the ones that you're going to find in craft stores are going to be like that craft fur. It's, you know, it's going to hold, but it's not going to be the best hold or the greatest hold if you're using it on feet paws or, you know, high stress areas. It's more prone to break.
I don't know what the product names are. What is the type of hot glue that you use on a fursuit that's going to stay in place for a decade?
So most of the hot glue that I use is like the Gorilla Strength, and I'll get it like
the Gorilla brand.
Yes.
Oh, they make their own hot glue.
They have their own hot glue.
Okay.
But there's a lot of like kind of Gorilla-esque ones that you can buy in bulk. So I'll get a lot of those, and then I, for like feet and everything, I'll use E6000.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's
they also make it in a tube, don't they? Or I think of something else. It almost looks like shoe goo or amazing goop or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. So they make it in, actually, that's what I'll use because it's a little bit easier to apply. I know some makers will use like the rubber cement looking stuff and they'll kind of slab something on top. It takes longer for it to dry because it's not a heat reaction process.
Yeah, it has
where
a
it's
gas
like,
out.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes a little bit more time for it to really adhere. So like if I'm, for example, I have a paw down here, but for example, if I'm gluing like the sides here or the bottom part to the fur, it takes a little bit longer to cure. So like I'll put like pins or something just to help it stay together while it dries. But I say hot glue, usually I'll use on, you know, heads if I'm doing something with the body.
Do you also make the outdoor pads that go on these?
So
this already is pretty hard.
Yeah. So for most of my feet, I'm moving over. I say you always learn something new. So I've found a lot of makers include like in the bottom, the very bottom between the. So these are stuffed. So there's no foam in them. It's all just polyfill forms to the foot.
Okay.
Usually between that. I like to call it a little sock for the foot and the bottom. Makers will put like a little tiny layer of like the upholstery foam that you use on the heads. So I'm starting to move over for that, but otherwise like it can be a yoga mat. I'm trying to move over to make them a little bit sturdier.
And that's what my feet are made out of.
It's
yoga mats,
some type of rubber, like outdoor kind of mat, like that you'd see in a gym.
Yeah.
They apparently sell those. I'm trying to find somewhere to actually buy sheets of those. But I'll say those are used. I do also do indoor. So like promos here are going to be indoor. Obviously, haven't done the bottom piece to it, but it's going to have that bottom piece of foam in here on the bottom. This is a totally different pattern too. So this is a larger foot than that because Lyft has big feet. But same thing, kind of same process with that. I actually still put the outdoor bottoms and the foam in the bottom. So it still has some structure instead of being like all floppy like this. But it's still like the stuffed and everything, and it'll have the little sock that this one has inside. So the sock is made out of, I don't know the official name for it, but it's like quilted or woven, double backed something, some cotton of some sort. I've seen some makers even use that for heads instead of like spandex or neoprene. Some people put neoprene in the feet instead. I'll say anything but minky. I've made that mistake.
What is that?
The minky fabric is like what a lot of the noses or the inside of mouths will be made out of, or paw pads.
And people make the feet out of those.
They'll make the inside of the feet out of them. So that's what you're putting, like, or your hands.
That's like going to the gym in a cotton t-shirt.
Yes. It gets a little toasty.
Sweaty. When I see people at conventions and they've been dancing and the head is just all, and then they just take the head and just drop it in the corner of the room. Bro.
That's why we have fan trees.
I go through about half a bottle of ISO at a convention. Just immediately when I'm done, just kill that bacteria that's in there.
Yep.
Now, you open my fursuit case, it smells like a clinic, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, doesn't smell like BO.
It doesn't smell like BO, smell like sweat.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Like, yeah.
Furries need to learn that one. I would take it around and just spray them.
Yeah.
Just be like.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the BO. It's way better than it was.
Way better. Yes.
Like,
I remember an Anthrocon walking by like some suit and I was like,
yo, it smells like a middle school locker room.
Yeah.
It's, now I know some people have challenges with like BO and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the people selling those scented fursuit sprays, just buy that stuff.
Just buy that.
I don't think it's as good as ISO because you're not actually solving the problem of the BO.
Mm-hmm.
You're masking it. You know, it's like Febreze, yes, kind of, but it's really finding what spilled.
It's more for a quick clean because I've even made some of those sprays before. Like it's 50, usually a 50-50 mix. Mm-hmm. Each, you know, maker kind of finds their balance with that.
Mm-hmm.
But like a real good clean is going to be like you at home taking that ISO, mixing it with a little bit of water, spraying the inside, letting it fully dry, like saturate it, let it dry, spraying the outside, like convention, like those little tiny, you know, very nice scented everything. Yeah. Great, like quick clean and everything. But if you want a true clean, it's like you got to make that yourself. Or, you know, I know a few people that sell like soap specifically for fursuits, or you know, laundry detergent specifically for fursuits. Or I've even done them before. They're like little refresher pouches. I know my friend Zadron actually makes them. They go in the suit in between wears, and it makes the suit kind of smell nice on the inside.
Well, I like that product idea.
Yes,
like something like if you're at you're in a hotel room and there isn't you didn't bring the command hooks for the walls. And there isn't a nice place to hang a coat hanger for the suit to get air at it. And you know better than to hang it from the sprinkler.
Yeah.
To have something that would absorb water. I wonder. No. You'd need a walk-in closet at a hotel to have a dry room where you would put like two dehumidifiers on and on constant.
Yeah,
just drawing all the moisture out of it. That sort of would work. I've always wanted to do that, but that's just another huge thing to carry to a convention, an entire dehumidifier, and bring it into the room and just have it underneath the suit, just blowing dry air at it.
I think it was at Furrydelphia. I've actually seen a maker who has, and it's like compactable. Like you can take it apart and kind of put it pretty flat. It's a very simple 3D printed like little headstand for it, where it's like kind of two horseshoes and then a circular bottom.
Stands on top of a dehumidifier.
Yes.
Oh,
and you can stand it on top of something. They've even, I believe, I'll say I was looking at the other one, but I do believe they have a model that actually has a fan in it in the bottom where it'll actually dry from the inside. And it has space for the air to still escape.
I wonder if someone could make something. Did you ever see the movie Primer?
I did not.
Okay. You know the premise?
Yes.
Okay. Like, if you could make the time machine out of, like, PVC, like, make a closet that had walls that you could put a dehumidifier in and just hang suits in there, and it would just pull all the moisture out of it. No, but you'd
That's
need
an
it
ideal
in,
world.
No, but you'd still have to have, because you'd have positive pressure. The dehumidifier would have to sit in the wall, drawing air from outside in, and then you would need at the top, like a diesel flapper off of a semi-truck to allow the moisture, some air out. All right. The ROI isn't here.
Yeah. You need like a laboratory setting, basically. Yeah. You'd need that negative and positive pressure, which no con or convention space is probably ever going to get.
Yeah. What is your opinion on fursuit financing?
It's tough. So I'm one that's very much like, I'll say a maker can sit there and crunch numbers. I'm not one of those makers. I'm like, you know what? Ballpark prices seems to cover materials, seems to, you know, because I'm not a full-time maker. So I do a lot of work after my full-time job. So I'm actually assistant manager at a pet hotel. So I work.
Okay, we have to back up for a second.
Okay.
You said a pet hotel.
Correct.
This is a kennel?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like a luxury kennel. There's luxury rooms kennel. For them. It's not your standard, like, kind of going into a shelter type situation.
And this is for dogs?
Dogs, cats. We've had chinchillas.
When the dogs and cats are brought to the pet hotel, how many of them arrive in Range Rovers? Or Mercedes 7 Series?
You see, we have a client who comes in and comes in a Tesla Cybertruck.
Oh, boy.
I know, right? I unfortunately don't get to see the cars very often because when you walk into the lobby, it's a parking lot that we can't see. It's on the side of the building. And there's like minimal windows on that side of the building. So
I'm fascinated now by the over under, the overhead versus the overhead and the ROI on a pet hotel. I love the name.
Yes.
To let you know, right away, you know this isn't a, you said it is a kennel, it does the job of a kennel.
Yes.
But it's not a kennel.
It does, that's the point, that because it's like a corporate owned one. I'm like, it's insane how many like we have 60 or 70 locations, I think.
Okay.
For that pet hotel across the U.S. Anyways, but yeah, that was their big thing. They used to be pet care. Yeah. Now it's pet hotel. Because we're trying to make it seem like we're, you know, a nicer facility. We're not a kennel.
No.
You know? But we serve the same purpose.
And now we can have a higher price point with a name like hotel.
Exactly. Exactly. But I, like, my main job, like, daytime job, I like to call it daytime versus nighttime.
Of course, yeah.
Because a lot of the suit work is, like, done on my days off. Yeah. Or, you know, done on my downtime whenever I'm not at work. Or, you know, I come home for the day. Or usually before I go into work, I'll be working on something. And I'll take off sometimes to just have some days to kind of catch up on work. But my daytime job, I actually have a degree in wildlife.
Cool.
So I have worked in wildlife rehabilitation. I have worked in zoos. A lot of it has been very animal oriented, even prior to furry things. I say actually animated animals first. You ask me to draw a human, there's...
That's going to look horrible. That's such a thing. Like, you see the memes. You see this intricately drawn, I don't know. I have to say something specific because otherwise people get mad at you. Let's...
Go with a dragon. It's like...
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
A very realistic, like, you know, dragon doesn't exist. Not a real animal.
Yeah. Now draw a person and it's just... It's eighth like grade a art stick class.
Figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing. I can kind of draw a human. Would I want to? No. Is it fun? Yeah. No. I like drawing fur. I like drawing like all the extras that go on to these animals and everything. Yeah. Horns, wings. Like,
yeah.
A human's not going to have that. They're kind of boring. They're like the skin of these animals. I'd rather just draw the animals.
You just, they all look like One Punch Man when he's just looking literally at something. Yeah.
They do. Oh my God, that manga just.
Yeah.
That manga is something. It's so different from the
anime. I love it. It's so an funny. Anime's anime.
Literally.
And I think I love best about it is even more so than like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you're just supposed to like just go with it, Morty.
You go with it. You're not here for the artwork and that. You're here for the story.
Yeah.
Or like if somebody's like, I like the artwork, I'm not here for the story. It's always something.
Yeah.
Like they're getting something right. The other thing, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry for yawning. That's bad podcast. I hope it's not peaking when I'm meeting the mic like this.
Yeah.
Has this been an hour?
Time to find out.
I don't know.
It says 8:33. Obviously, it wasn't 8 minutes, and it's not 8 hours.
No.
Thank
you, camera.
That was good, Brian. Just drop the mic and make a nice peek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't freaking get it. Why does it say 8 hours and 33 minutes?
We've been talking for 8 hours and 33 minutes, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
It's obviously so dark outside. Maybe that's why the camera was dying before we recorded.
Yeah, maybe.
It's actually been on for 8 hours.
Thought it. That's so weird. That's a weird Canon. This is the first time in a long time I've used Canon as a video camera. For a while, this thing has just been a webcam. But we've been having this thing where I bought a Blackmagic ATEM, which is a video switcher module. You said you did TV?
So I've been on TV for mostly like wildlife and stuff to segments.
That's like one of those things you can switch between a bunch of cameras without having to go through the computer. It does it
as
a standalone thing, but it only likes native HDMI that goes into it. And it's been having this thing with my old mixing board. It's the classic stuff like that. It wants to work with all its own branded gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than mismatching this stuff. But whatever, Regular Friends is going to continue. Oh, that's interesting that one has the isolator on it. Man, I'd love to just have like little cameras on the wall, like little HDMI cameras that's it like permanently flips. On, and then we can have someone sitting in the table that just flips in between them.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast like early on when there's like not a whole lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
But thank you so much to everybody who's donating on the Patreon. We just hit a goal this morning. And we definitely want to take this show on to like two conventions and have it there. And that's half the reason to have that switcher. Mm-hmm. So you could have a whole thing going on. And they use ATEMs like in dances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They do millions of stuff. But anyway, thank you so much for watching this. And we're going to switch to the Patreon content. Thank you so much to everybody who donates to the Patreon. You're keeping Regular Friends and RCR going. What sort of stuff do you want to plug? What are your plugs, socials? Where can people find you?
So I am on X still. I'm working on getting onto Blue Sky. I have a website with an official domain that was recent. But you can find me under Plush Buttons for most of those. I think Twitter is still an underscore at the very end. I'm also on Instagram. Past that, I do a lot of conventions in the area. So like the Philly area, you can find me at most artist alleys and like Anthrocon, Anthro New England, Philadelphia, Forget About It, which is coming up.
That is coming up.
Yep. I am vending there. So I'll say I will be at that one. But otherwise, Plush Buttons on most social medias, minus the like one social. It's X or Instagram that has an underscore at the end of it.
Okay. Yeah. You can just send that to me on Telegram, yeah. And I'll just put it all on the screen there.
Cool.
Thank you so much. We're your regular friends getting you through the day. I'm Brian.
I'm Ginger.
Have a great afternoon. Bye.